Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Trees bring a lot to a community, maybe a lot more than you might think. And we're really pleased to have a couple of guests with you to talk about the benefits of urban forests. And our guests include, from the Department of Natural Resources, Olivia Witoon, who is an urban forestry coordinator. Olivia, good to have you with us.
Nice to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great to have you along. Dan Buckler, as well, is an urban forest analyst. And Dan, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Larry.
So as we talk with these two experts, what do you want to know about urban trees? What do trees bring to your city? What would you like to know about how trees are managed in urban areas? We'd like you to be part of the conversation. So give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Before we start talking about urban forestry, tell us, Dan, what you do in your position.
Yeah, so I'm an urban forest analyst, and basically my job is to figure out what trees are growing where in our communities and help our partners communicate why that's important. So a lot of mapping work, a lot of data analysis, as well as helping with resources, whether it's fact sheets or interactive maps to help tell that story about their urban forests and tell a story that's beyond just the color and character that trees offer our community, but really help people understand that these trees are really important infrastructure in our communities.
Hmm. Olivia, what about your position? Talk about it.
So as an urban forestry coordinator, I work to essentially coordinate resources for the folks out there who are managing these community trees. So I work a lot with city foresters, some nonprofits, and other partners as well to help them get things done, providing resources. We have a grant program, just helping to make those connections with the networking, a lot of training opportunities as well.
Yeah. Dan, maybe you could talk more about the part that the DNR plays in bringing urban forests to cities.
Yeah, so right now we are seeing a huge number in the increase of Wisconsinites taking to the outdoors for their mental, spiritual, and physical health. And I know I'm thrilled to be seeing people utilizing the parks and the trail system so much more in my community recently. It's really nice to see. And trees are providing not only the health benefits that I just mentioned, but they also provide environmental, economic, and social benefits as well. And so here's the thing that we really want people to know is that you don't have to go up north to see the trees and get the benefits. You don't need to go on some exotic vacation. You can get that by walking out your front door. So the forest is outside your door. It's the urban forest, so the trees, the vegetation, the shrubs that are around you in your community. And really, we want to encourage people to use and understand those benefits. And we also want everybody to know that they affect the benefits that their community forest provides as well, just by taking care of the trees in their own yard, as well as advocating for the care of their community's trees to the decision makers.
Yeah, actually a very, very good point. By the way, I want to give listeners a chance to join in. If you would like to join in with a question or comment, I hope you will. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Suzelle in Wauwatosa, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, my question really has to do with global climate change and the role of urban forests in ameliorating that as much as possible. I'm definitely a tree lover and a tree hugger, and just wondering how the average citizen can advocate for more urban forestry to be put in our cities and towns.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Well, let's see. Maybe both of you have some comments on this. Dan, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for that great question and for a really important topic. And I would say, yes, urban forests are very important to adapt to and mitigate climate change, especially because urban areas are so extensive and keep growing in Wisconsin and elsewhere. So they are a large chunk of our land in the state. And we can't just look to our rural forests and rural ecosystems for what we would call natural climate solutions. So ways that natural ecosystems could help mitigate and adapt to climate change. So we really need to pay attention to urban areas and make sure that existing trees are maintained and that new trees are planted. So trying to keep trees in the ground is really important. We say that with rural forests as well. Keeping forest as forest is really important, and I would apply that to urban areas as well. And where there are spaces to plant trees, where appropriate, please do so. They store a lot of carbon. And as we've discussed before, like they're preventing fossil fuel combustion by their placement around buildings. So well-placed trees, you could imagine just by their shade-giving ability, well-placed trees around buildings could actually reduce your energy impact and reduce the amount of fossil fuels being burned to, you know, to help cool your house or to help heat your house. So they have a direct mitigation impact, both in terms of the carbon that they're sucking out of the atmosphere, but also with the way they're reducing your need for fossil fuel combustion. And the other thing I would want to say would be, you know, these urban areas are where most people live. They're where most infrastructure exists. And so they play an outsized role in helping people and that infrastructure adapt to a changing climate. You can imagine, you know, two big things that are occurring under climate change now, as well as any kind of scenario you look at in the future for Wisconsin. And that's increased temperature and larger precipitation events. And for both those things, trees can play a really major role. Our urban areas are warmer than surrounding areas. So trees have a great power to cool spaces through shade and evapotranspiration, which is the way water moves through a tree and out its leaves as water vapor. So that has that great cooling effect, as well as the ability just to intercept and slow down some of that rain and prevent it or slow down from entering the stormwater infrastructure. So, yeah, major role both for adaptation and mitigation.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Olivia, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I will mention, Cizelle had asked about, you know, how to get involved in that. And I would say that doing it locally is the best thing you can do. So looking to see if your community has a tree board or a park board would be a fantastic place to start. You can also call and talk with your community's city forester. And if they don't actually have a city forester by name, it could be the park and rec director or the public works director that those tree duties fall under. But let me tell you, those folks are really excited when they get tree advocates who are looking to do something and help in the community. So I think that's a great start.
Yeah. And I can tell you, Cizelle, that I served for quite a few years on the Dane County Tree Board. And I have to tell you, it was a really eye-opening experience for me and a great learning experience. I hope I helped with some of the things that I was able to bring from a communication standpoint. But it was fascinating work for me, and I really enjoyed serving on the Dane County Tree Board. And there are tree boards, of course, around the whole state. I think pretty much every county for certain has somebody, if not a tree board. There are urban foresters and so forth that are ready and able to help. So thank you so much for that question. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. I was thinking back, a place I used to live was out in the country, but we had a big elm tree. And unfortunately, Dutch elm disease took that tree. And when that tree went, the temperature in the summer in the house jumped. And it was really, you could really, really tell that we had lost a lot of shade. And Dan, that that caused probably more air conditioning issues in at our home than might have been otherwise the case.
Yeah, they can definitely play a big impact with reducing your need for air conditioning. And of course, it's all reliant on the placement around on your home. I don't know where this this elm was in relation to your home, but it sounds like it was really big. And you know, especially if a tree is on the southern exposure or the western exposure of the home, that can play a pretty major role in shading that sun in the summer. And then I would say on the opposite side in the winter, in those colder months, our prevailing winds are from the northwest. So if you have trees in the northwest, particularly evergreen trees in the northwest, that
could be helped.
Yeah,
a big impact.
Especially if you have a drafty house.
Yeah, especially. Well, Dan Buckler and Olivia Witoon will be with us right up till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Have you noticed that cities with lots of trees seem friendlier? I've been talking about the ways urban forests benefit us with our guests from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, both of them. Dan Buckler is an urban forest analyst, and Olivia Witoon is an urban forestry coordinator. So it's great to have them with us. And what would you like to know about bringing more trees to your city? Join in. Give a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take some calls. Ron in Wausau, we'll give you a chance first. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I was wondering about the impacts of emerald ash borer on our urban forest and what steps are being done to either protect those trees or if they're going to be replaced, what species are being designated for that?
Good questions. Who wants to take that one? Dan, do you want to start?
Sure, I can start, but I think Olivia will have a lot more to say. I would like to mention, yeah, ash trees have play a major role both in urban and rural forests. They are extremely common in our cities. We planted a lot of green ash and white ash. And I would say urban forests do have a diversity issue, and ash trees are one reason that we have a diversity issue because they are overrepresented on the landscape in many cities. And we want and need diverse urban forests. So one of the, you know, it's unfortunate, but one of the silver linings of emerald ash borer is that we are very attuned to this diversity problem now. And so in all of these communities, wherever we're going, whoever we're talking to, they know they need to diversify the forest. And so after these ash trees are coming down, if they are coming down, there are ways to protect them. But if they are coming down, community after community are planting 10 different species to the one of, you know, green ash. And so it's really giving us this opportunity to make us less reliant on one or two or three species or genera in the state. And those trees that are replacing green and white ash are all over the board. And you can imagine they're a little different depending on where in the state you're located. You're seeing a lot of Kentucky coffee tree. People are experimenting with southern species. I've seen black tupelo, you know, on some boulevards. I've seen tulip poplars on some boulevards. These aren't quite native to Wisconsin, but because of climate change and because of these opportunities that EAB is bringing in terms of removing some of these overrepresented trees, people are taking the chance and trying new things.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, Olivia, you have some things to add as well.
Yeah. So Ron was asking about the effects of emerald ash borer, and it kills trees, the ash trees. So we are losing a lot of them. EAB has started in the southern part of the state. It's making its way up to the northern part. Communities themselves are looking at an inventory oftentimes of about 25% ash. So that is a huge loss to their tree canopy. And not only that, but it's a financial strain, and it's also difficult on the staffing levels to get all of those out right away. So what is kind of being done to combat that is... Well, some of them are using insecticides to treat the trees. They will do that to either kind of extend their removal schedule, or they're also trying to save some of those really spectacular ash trees that they like. Homeowners are doing the same things. If they have a really nice ash in their yard and they don't want to lose it, there are insecticide options that they can do to save that ash tree. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Ron, thank you again. Jay in Two Rivers, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Jay.
Good afternoon. I liked your suggestion about just stepping out our front door or walking around the block to enjoy urban forestry. And I've always been impressed that large cities like Milwaukee and Madison seem to have a lot of trees for an urban area. Unfortunately, my small city of 12,000 people seems to buck the trend. We're quite friendly here, and we've got a lot of city government backing as far as tree planting and encouraging people to plant trees on the southern and western exposure. But as a former chairperson of the Environmental Advisory Committee in our local tree board, I've actually, over the last 30 years, taken notes, and although not scientific, I found that somewhere around 70% of properties or homeowners, when properties exchange hands, the new homeowner will almost inevitably remove trees. And these are not diseased trees. And with some unofficial surveys, usually they just didn't want to deal with the leaves or other matters such as that. And I'm wondering if you are aware of any statistics like that where homeowners frequently remove the trees.
Hmm. Well, let's see. Olivia, a comment?
Yeah, Jay, I don't have any idea on the exact number or a statistic to give you, but I will say that I have seen that myself in my own neighborhood. And what I really think it comes down to is just educating people about these tree benefits and public awareness about it. And how do we have more of that? So communities look to tree boards like the one that you were on. They look to nonprofits to help. Sometimes they're really great at getting the word out. Social media has really done a lot in the recent years for increasing awareness about things. And then, you know, when it comes to funding things like that, there are different opportunities that kind of pop up. So, you know, if there is an advocate out there who really wants to do something, I would encourage them to, again, get a hold of the tree manager in their community, and they can also look to the DNR, to their urban forestry coordinator. So there are six of me across the state, and we can help connect that advocate with groups and organizations and potential funding mechanism to just help increase that awareness. So hopefully more people are keeping their trees and loving them as opposed to taking them out.
So where does Jay or anybody else for that matter find out the person in their area that you were just talking about, Olivia?
So I would say the best way is just to simply use your favorite search engine and look at Wisconsin DNR Urban Forestry. And we have a staff page on there. So just go to the Urban Forestry staff and you can look it up by your county right there. That would be the simplest way.
Yeah. Okay. Jay, thank you for calling. Dave in Rhinelander, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I've got a question. When in the mid to late 50s, my family moved to Erie, Pennsylvania, and midsummer, and the elms arched over the streets, and the streets had a boulevard in the middle of them. So you're talking, you know, a fairly wide area. And Dutch elm came 2 years later, and it really made a huge difference. My question is how, particularly for cities, what I'm seeing is cultivars being planted that maybe grow a max of 20, 30 feet tall because it's going to be too expensive to maintain the health of larger trees. And then you get into problems with storm damage and injury to people and cars and property. And it's nice to have something there that's green, but it's not going to be things that by the time they're 60, 70 years old are 60, 70 feet tall. Yeah. How do they weigh that?
Interesting. Dan, do you want to take a crack at that?
Yeah, sure. It's a difficult situation, and there are only so many trees that could survive the harsh environments around, you know, along a street. And so, you know, that's one of the difficulties here of, you know, in the Wisconsin, at least with Dutch elm disease that arrived in the 50s and just harassed our communities in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, where, you know, elms were 70% of our urban forests. And at the time, you know, there were only so many replacement species that were available in bulk and could survive harsh urban conditions. And so that included, you know, green and white ash. And so that's one of the reasons why we have this ash diversity problem right now. But it just underscores the difficulty in finding appropriate trees for those kind of situations. I would also say, though, that having some smaller trees along streets is not necessarily a bad thing. We've talked about species diversity as being really important, but I would also say age diversity is important and structural diversity is important as well. So making sure that you not only have large, stately trees on the street, that sounds pretty nice, but you also need things to keep growing to have the next generation of large, stately trees. So it's really good to have more smaller trees than more bigger trees, because then you have a sustainable urban forest. And then with structural diversity, you know, a mix of big and tall trees, I personally, like, aesthetically love that. You know, I don't necessarily want all the same tree and all the same size. I think that's really aesthetically pleasing to have heterogeneity. And it's great for wildlife as well to have different sizes and different textures of canopies. So I do understand it's difficult. I think there are a lot more options nowadays provided by nurseries for urban trees, but some situations are just some harsh urban conditions are just so great that you just can't put, you know, whatever you might want to put there. Olivia, yeah. Do you have anything to add there?
Then I think you did a fantastic job.
I remember we had a, in the Dane County Tree Board, we had a, one of the representatives was from Madison Gas and Electric, and the gas and electric companies across the state, for them it's a big deal because a significant amount of money is spent when trees are, the wrong tree is planted in the in the wrong spot, and you've got a lot of work to keep the lines and all that going in any particular neighborhood. I remember that well. The cost is very significant for just trimming trees, and sometimes you have to trim them and they don't look very good, and then the homeowner doesn't like it, but you know, that's kind of somehow that has to be sometimes. Rose and Toma, will give you a chance. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I've got a lot of things on my mind about trees, and I will start off by saying that I did go to the local DNR about the tree situation, and I said, because like here in central Wisconsin, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say now that hundreds of thousands of acres of trees have been plowed down for agricultural purposes now. And I asked him, I went in there and asked him if there had been any studies on the loss of habitat for wildlife, insects, and birds. And he just kind of looked at me weirdly and said, no, like, you know, so what? And, you know, it's like with all the wildfires out west, millions of acres burning, and then that derecho that went through Cedar Rapids, Iowa, this July. My daughter and her family live there, and it just flattened all of the big trees, all of them. It's like billions of dollars of damage in that city, and trees were a casualty too. So it's like, how do we ever come back from this destruction? And then I heard the other day on the news that most urban trees only live 40 years because of disease and pollution.
So, is that correct? I wonder, Dan, do you know if that's correct, that trees only live about 40 years?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, if we're just talking about like street trees.
Yeah, trees in the back lawn are going to live longer.
Yeah, most likely, if you maintain it well.
Yeah. Any other comments on Rose's comments, Olivia?
No, I would say too that trees downtown have an even rougher go of it. I have seen statistics talking about, you know, 8-year lifespan for trees downtown. And what we can do about that is, you know, just in our own yards, taking care of things, planting trees, and being active in the community. And like I said, you know, those park boards and tree boards, they do have some power and can help educate folks and let the decision makers know that there are people out there that care and want things to last longer. So, you know, please plant the right trees in the right spot, and let's, you know, instead of widening the road, maybe we can make the road narrower instead of needing to take these trees out. So there's things like that that can be done.
Rose, thanks again. I want to give Mark in Scandinavia a chance to join in, because it goes, his comments, I think, go right along with some of what you just said, Olivia. Mark, hello.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. If they have a list of trees not to plant for the city people who make the decisions on which trees go on the streets, because in Stevens Point they have a large number of Siberian maples, and they mature enough to breed in about 4 years, and they're already starting to take over parts of the woods in various parts of the city and also out in the country. And so it seems to be our next buckthorn and autumn olive problem. Do you have any list of that to guide people?
List of trees not to plant, huh?
Not to plant, exactly.
Yeah, so what the DNR does have is a list of invasive species through our NR40 rule. So on there are trees that are prohibited, where if you have them in your community, you have to take them out. They are bad, bad. And then there are the ones that are regulated, which means you're not able to buy them at a nursery anymore, but essentially, the cat's out of the bag. They're very difficult and costly to control, and they're everywhere. So the DNR does not force control of those and removal of those, but we do suggest that some things are taken care of. So that's really the only list we have is for the invasive trees. Now, I know that cities oftentimes make their own lists of trees that are preferred for planting or sometimes trees that are not allowed to be planted. And sometimes that's just for their own internal plantings and care on public property, but sometimes they also do have that in the ordinances for the homeowners who are not allowed to, say, put a cottonwood on their private property. And that's just an example. Not every community has that, but I have seen that in some ordinances.
Hmm, interesting. Say, I wanted to talk about Tree City USA for a minute, Olivia, because that was something that, as a member of the Dane County Tree Board, I obviously became very familiar with Tree City USA and its programs, and I'm not sure everybody knows about it.
Yeah, so Tree City USA is an Arbor Day Foundation program, and Wisconsin DNR helps administer that recognition program here in Wisconsin. And I can tell everybody that Wisconsin is number two in the nation for the number of tree cities. We have just about 200 of them. So that's really cool that many communities care about their trees. And in order to get that recognition, they have to have somebody in charge of the trees. They have to have an ordinance for the trees. They need to spend so much money per year on them. And then they also need to have an Arbor Day celebration, which increases awareness about the trees. So April is a really fun time for us because that's when Arbor Day is, the last Friday in April.
Well, I think it's a great program, and it speaks a little bit to some of the calls we've had of people who were may have been frustrated or certainly concerned about the trees in their own neighborhoods. That might be something for them or anybody to look into, the Tree City USA program.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And they can Google that. They can find out. Then they can find out if their own municipality is a tree city. And if not, encourage those tree managers in your community to become one.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you both taking the time to be with us today. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm sorry we're not getting to everybody here with their questions and comments, but again, thank you, Dan and Olivia, for your time today, and we'll have you back, and we'll talk some more about urban forests. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Dan Buckler is an urban forest analyst for the Wisconsin DNR in the Urban Forest Department. Olivia Witoon is an urban forestry coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Urban Forest Department. Great talking with them. And as they said, go to the DNR website. It's a great website to begin with. You should just take a look at it. Look up to find out more about urban forests, perhaps yours, in your community. So there you go. We'll be taking a look at the legal side of housing sales on tomorrow's program. That's at 11 o'clock, so I hope you'll tune in for that. But also, I hope you'll just stay with us right through the afternoon. We have lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.